Since Jerome's study, or cell, is of course often depicted as a cave, the mouth of this cave can sometimes be seen in paintings of St. Jerome in the desert or performing penance, either situated quite near at hand or up on the mountainside, depending on the scale of the painting. This cave constitutes a kind of link between the two different representations of St. Jerome, or one might even say, between the two different images of St. Jerome, i.e. St. Jerome in the desert or performing penance, and St. Jerome in his study translating the Bible. Now, I have said that in order to appreciate the greatness of man, it is necessary to view him from the inside, from within, as a spiritual being among spiritual beings. But it is only man himself who can view man in this way. Nature cannot do it. She is able to view him, if she views him at all, only from the outside. She sees him only as a physical body. In order to see himself as a spiritual being, man has to stop viewing himself only as a physical body, as nature does, and enter into the cave of the heart. To begin with, the heart will appear to him as an object, even as a physical object or physical organ. That is why in paintings of St. Jerome in the desert, the cave can be seen, but it is seen from the outside, since there it is part of nature, part of the material universe. When man, as represented by the figure of St. Jerome in the landscape, enters the cave is no longer object, but subject. Man has turned himself inside out, as it were. St. Jerome is no longer in the desert. He is in his study, and we are there in his study with him. The first thing we notice about the study is that except for a few spiritually significant items, such as a red hat, an hourglass, and a human skull, it is completely bare. I'm speaking of what may be termed the typical representation of St. Jerome's study in Italian Renaissance art. In particular, it does not contain, apart from one important exception, which I shall mention in a minute, any natural object. There are no flowers in vases, for instance, and no food, not so much as a crust of bread or a cruse of wine. Moreover, there are no windows, and therefore no view, so that St. Jerome cannot look out at the surrounding desert when he gets tired of translating the Bible and the Greek and Hebrew characters start dancing in front of his eyes. In the cave of the heart, man cannot see nature, and nature cannot see man. There must, of course, be a door, but it cannot be open, for no sunlight streams through it into the cave, which is filled with a mysterious glow of its own. Sometimes St. Jerome is depicted working by the light of a candle. What the typical representation of St. Jerome in his study really gives us is a cross-section of an inner world. In this inner world, man is not insignificant, as he is when viewed from the outside, as part of the material universe. And this is why, in paintings of St. Jerome in his study, the figure of St. Jerome himself looms extremely large. Indeed, it sometimes practically fills the entire painting. If in the case of St. Jerome in the landscape, or in the midst of nature, there is hardly room for St. Jerome, in the case of St. Jerome and his study, there is hardly room for nature. As I have already said, with one exception, St. Jerome's study, or cell, does not contain any natural object, that is to say, any living natural object, for presumably his desk is made of wood that was once part of a tree, and the pages of the Bible he is translating of parchment that was once part of a sheep. One might even say that St. Jerome's study contains nothing but St. Jerome, for every one of the spiritually significant items, as I have called them, is in a sense an extension of the saint's own personality, as is even the one natural object that the study contains.